as scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. God has revealed those things to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches everything. Everybody say everything. The Spirit searches everything, especially the deep things of God. After all, who knows everything about a person except that person's own spirit? In the same way, no one has known everything about God except God's Spirit. Now, we didn't receive the Spirit that belongs to the world. Instead, we received the Spirit who comes from God so that we could know the things which God has freely given us. More, more. We want more. Can we celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today, who has everything in abundance, great things for us to enjoy? Come on, I want you to high five as you're seated. High five somebody and tell them more, more, more. There's more for you. There's so much more. Good morning, everybody. What a joy, what a privilege to be in the presence of the Lord today. The Bible says in His presence there is fullness of joy. At His right hand there are pleasures forevermore, evermore. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Anybody in the house love Jesus today? Anybody in the house love, you're in love with God today? As hard as we might try, you and I cannot begin to imagine all that God has in store for us. As hard as we might try, we can't even begin to imagine all that God has in store for us, both in this life and for eternity. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. You can't even begin to imagine. Look at where you are today. Can you imagine? Can you believe just where you are today? How incredible a journey you've had with God. If you're here today and you're born again and you know Jesus as Savior and Lord, can you just kind of take a moment and look back on your life and just see, oh my goodness, look what the Lord has done. Isn't it awesome? I mean, it's amazing how far He's brought you and all the good things, all the great things He's done with you and in you and for you. You can't, if you tried to stop and just, you know that song, Count Your Blessings, See What God Has Done. I mean, to even try that, it's going to take you a while. And you've just begun. It's just started for you. Imagine where you're going to be. Imagine what is in store for you. And no matter how hard you try, you cannot really. Your mind can't comprehend it. The blessings our Father has already prepared for you, for us, it's beyond human understanding. Our finite brain, our finite mind cannot, it's infinite. We can't begin to imagine all that God has, both here and in eternity. Even if we could comprehend it all, even if it were possible to lay hold of it and to embrace it and comprehend it, we would still be challenged to receive it. Even if it were possible that our minds could just lay hold of the incredible blessing of God, we would still be challenged to receive it because of a phrase. There's a phrase in verse 12 that gives us the reason why we struggle to receive it, or we would struggle if we could even if we could wrap our mind around it, if we could wrap our mind around what God has in store for us. Even if we could, we would still struggle to receive, because in verse 12 it says, we didn't receive the spirit that belongs to the world. Instead, we received the spirit who comes from God, so that we could freely know the things which God has freely given us. Look at this. We receive the Spirit who? That word who is very important, because the word who indicates a person. If it was a thing, if the Spirit was a thing, it would say which. Which comes from God. But it says we receive the Spirit who comes from God. The person of the Holy Spirit is a person. Comes to us to show us and to reveal to us that we might know which the things which God has freely given us. But I want to back up and I want to look at this phrase, the Spirit that belongs to the world. Even if we were able to comprehend every blessing and every good thing that God has laid up in store, has already prepared for our life, even if we could say, yeah, I see it, I got it now, we would still struggle because of that phrase, the Spirit of the world. Though it's a detailed subject, I don't have time to really break it down. Overall, the Spirit of the world, when you begin to study this phrase in the Bible, the Spirit, it's called the Spirit of the age, the Spirit of the world. When you begin to study it, and it's quite intricate, it's quite a detailed, intricate subject, but when you begin to study it, overall, the Spirit of the world is the culture of the world. The Spirit of the world, or the Spirit of the age, is the culture of the world based on the value systems. The culture of the world is based on the value systems of the world. And though we may be able to really grasp in our minds, if it were possible, it's not, but if it were possible, by our finite, limited mind or brain, to really comprehend all the blessing of God, we would still struggle to receive it, because to receive all that God has, because the Spirit of the world, from where we've been brought from, is the culture of the world. And it's based on the value systems of the kingdom of this world. And I'm going to break that down. But first, you need to understand that culture refers to the shared values. The shared values are the beliefs or the norms, what people consider normal by a group of people. Culture refers to the shared values, the beliefs, what's considered normal in our culture, our normal way of doing things, our normal way of processing, our normal way of going about life. That's culture for any specific group of people. And it comes right down even to the very family, to our very home. We have a culture in which we've been raised. And we need to understand this. Our culture and our cultural values, that which has been imparted to us from the time we were raised, they serve as the founding principles or the foundational principles of our life. So even though our minds would be able to comprehend everything that God, this great, amazing, phenomenal God of ours, if we were able by our minds to receive, to take hold of and to understand everything he has for us, we would still struggle to receive because of the spirit of the world, because of the culture in which we've been raised. Now you got to track with me and you got to follow me today. Because if you can get hold of this, if you can take hold of this, it's going to revolutionize you. You see, our culture, the values of our culture, what we consider values, serve as the founding principles of our life. They influence and shape our thinking. From the time we little bitty, from the time we're just young, the culture in which we are raised influence and shape our thinking, our behavior, our personality. That culture which we take into ourselves just by virtue of living every day, every day, every day. By what we download, by what we impart, what we see, what we hear, the examples set before us in our homes, our family, the way we do things, our tribe, the way we do things, our culture, our nation, our land, our people, my people. This is what shapes our thinking. This is what shapes our responses. This is what the values, this is what causes us to function. This is how we function. Our culture, from the time we're small, begins to help us. We begin to develop even thought processes and how we come to the end of a thought or how we embrace a thought and all the process. And that's another whole area. But I want you to get this very carefully. That culture in which we're raised, it influences and shapes our thinking and our behavior. The way we act, the way we do things. You've heard it said many times, in our family, this is how we do things. In this home, young man, in this home, young lady, you ever heard that? Well, if you haven't heard it, just stick around, hang around, because now, prior, listen carefully, because I'm building something here. Prior to our accepting Christ, in which we were called out of the kingdom of darkness, that's the world. The world is called. Now, when I'm talking about culture, the culture of the world, I'm not talking about any specific group right now. I'm talking about the whole. I'm talking about the whole. When I'm speaking of the culture of the world, I'm not speaking about the culture of any people, any tribe, any nation in particular, because those are various cultures worked into the whole. When I begin to describe this, you've got to hear, prior to accepting Christ, our cultural values were based entirely upon the world's value system. So from nation, society to society, world, from country to country, from when we look at it, there are specific cultural values that are just there. They're in the world. And prior to our accepting Christ, our cultural values were based entirely upon the world's value system. We spent all of our life before Christ living by the spirit of the world, embracing its culture. From the time we are raised, we begin to embrace the culture of this world, its mindset. It's the worldview that we begin to, that was established in us from the time we're small. It's all rooted in, it has its foundation in, and is built upon the belief system and the value system of the world. And we've all been called out of that. We've all been delivered from that. So from society to society, wherever you go, you will have certain principles that transcend every society, every people group, that are the culture. It's just the culture of this world. And we know from Scripture that this world is under the domain of the prince of the power of the air. And so we're raised in a culture in which we embrace certain principles and values with the realization that this is a fallen world. This is not, this, the culture of the world is not built upon godly values. The culture of this world, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdoms of this world are not founded upon godly truth and principles. Because we're in a fallen world, and the prince of the power of the air has established within his domain, transcending every culture and every society, he has laid out. That's why you go from nation to nation, and no matter where you go, you will have corruption. No matter where you go, you will have evil. You will have within the culture of this domain, you will have certain principles that men and women who have embraced and live in the culture of the world, they live by them. Greed and things that are everywhere. It transcends every people group. Are you following me? And prior to accepting Christ, our cultural values, our belief system, our shared values were based entirely upon the world's value system. And we spent all of our life before Christ living by the spirit of the world, embracing its culture. Now that we have received the Spirit of God, now that we have received Jesus as our Savior and Lord, who came into this world but was not of this world, who walked into this earth and began to live a life showing us the principles and the values of a kingdom to come, his kingdom, to those who have embraced the finished work of the cross, in which Jesus, in the very heart of this fallen world, went to the cross, died and was raised again by the power of God, whoever lives to make intercession for us, has now called and chosen a people, ecclesia, the called out ones, who have been living under the domain of this world and its value system, who have heard the call of God, who have received Jesus as Savior and Lord of their life, have been raised up, have been delivered from the power of the enemy, have been transformed by the blood of Jesus, their names written in the book of life, and they are now, you and I, are now part of a greater kingdom. And that kingdom has its own culture. And now that we've received the Spirit of God, now that we're part of that great kingdom of God, we are in a process of learning the life of the Spirit and of growing in our understanding of God's kingdom and its culture. Because you see, when we first heard the gospel of Jesus, the Holy Spirit began to work in our hearts. The Holy Spirit, no man can call Jesus Lord except by the Spirit of God. So when we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and we began to open our hearts to the Spirit of God began to convict us, the Spirit of God began to deal with us and show us there's a higher kingdom, show us there's a higher way to live. There's a better way to live. There's a way I can live. I can live free. I can live blessed. The Holy Spirit began to work with me and show me that God can become my Father, and he has everything in abundance for my life. He has so much for me. And so the Holy Spirit began to woo me and draw me. The Holy Spirit began to deal with me and convict me. The Holy Spirit began to work in my heart, and I began to realize that all that this kingdom that I've been living in, it doesn't satisfy. But when I came to Jesus and I received Jesus as my Savior and Lord, now I'm becoming and I've become part of a great kingdom. And that same Holy Spirit that drew me now wants to fill me so that I, as a subject in God's kingdom with Jesus as my King, I can allow the Holy Spirit to begin to work in me and help me understand the culture of this new way of life, the value system, what Jesus, my King, values and what he wants to do in me. And so the Holy Spirit is given. The Holy Spirit comes as the agent of God to begin to work in my life. And oh, how I love what God is saying to us. I love Third Thursday that happened this past Thursday. And how God just used Miss Amy to speak to us on the power, the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the yielding and the giving ourselves. I loved yesterday at our re-encounter, our leadership re-encounter. I loved yesterday how the Spirit of God began to use my wife, how we, all of our pastors, how we begin to embrace what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. So we are in a process of learning the life of the Spirit and of growing in our understanding of God's kingdom and its culture. We are developing our ability to freely take the things which God has prepared for us, revealed to us by the Holy Spirit as we walk every day with the Holy Spirit, as we yield every day to the Holy Spirit. There is an amazing wealth. There is an incredible opportunities. There are incredible things that we haven't even seen or heard yet that the Holy Spirit wants to release. The Holy Spirit wants us to bring us into it. And we have to allow every day. We develop that ability to freely receive, freely take the things that God has revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. That every day we wake up and we say, Holy Spirit, today I want to yield to you. Today I've come out of an old way of life, an old way of thinking, an old way of processing thoughts. And God, today I want to take on the mind of Christ. Today I want to live for you. Today I want you to work in me and develop in me all the riches and all the things that you have for me today. Holy Spirit, I'm tender before you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, reveal. Come on, church. However, when we choose to live by the world's expectations, when we somehow do not heed that still small voice of the Holy Spirit, and we return to our old ways, our old habits, our old values, the old things, when we choose to return to those and live by the world's expectations, operating by the world's standards, showing no difference from the worldly culture in which we live, we miss out on so much of God's goodness to us. We miss out on so much of what God has already prepared for us. So we're learning every day. When we wake up and we make a choice based on temptation, we find ourselves tempted and we return to our old culture, our old life. God loves us. God's still willing to work with us. The Holy Spirit comes after us. But we realize we miss out on so much that God has for us. Last week we saw that whatever it takes to receive, we must disengage from the culture of this world. And we must engage the kingdom of God culture. We can't go back to our old way of life. We have to yield to the Holy Spirit's promptings and dealings. We have to yield to the Holy Spirit's working in every day ministering and every day leading us and guiding us into truth, leading us and guiding us into the value systems of this culture, of this kingdom. So last week we saw that in order to receive, whatever it takes to receive is going to require, number one, actually it's number five, I need to disengage from the world's culture and I need to engage the kingdom of God culture. Now, that's a great beginning. Tell somebody it's a great beginning. That's good. That's good preaching. Come on, tell somebody that's good preaching. Thank you for encouraging me. Now today, we're going to take it a step further as we finish this series, Whatever It Takes to Receive. Today we're going to take it a step further. Number six, whatever it takes to receive, it's not enough to disengage. It's not enough to engage. We have to unlearn. We have to unlearn the world's culture. And we have to be trained in kingdom of God culture. The first step is to disengage from the world's culture, worldly culture. We disengage. And then we engage kingdom of God culture, the kingdom of God, the way of life in the kingdom. We engage it. But disengaging and engaging is not enough. Just like engaging a young lady to marry her, it's wonderful. Well done if you've gone through courtship. I want to tell you something. Look at me, please. I don't have time to get into this, but every local church has its culture. Every local church has its own culture. Nairobi Lighthouse Church has a culture. And if God's planted you in this house and you're part of Nairobi Lighthouse Church, you best be learning the culture of this local church. And part of our culture, a great part of our culture, is courtship. A great part of our culture. You need to learn the culture, what we value around here. What we set our hearts towards. It's part of our culture because we are the family of God. With an expression, our church is Nairobi Lighthouse Church. We are part of the great family of God in this city and nation. And in this family, this is how we do things. You ever had your dad pull his glasses down when he's talking to you? Hey, boy. This is how we do things. We don't just jump into engagement. Listen to me, young guys and ladies. We don't just jump into engagement. We start with courtship. That's our culture. And engagement is wonderful. But how many of you know, especially how many of you married people know, that engagement period was amazing, but it wasn't enough. You up in here? That engagement period was awesome, but it wasn't enough. There's more. A lot more. So it's not enough to engage. I was telling Pastor Nelson during the break, when you learn to drive, one of the first things, when you learn to drive a vehicle, a motor vehicle, one of the first things you're going to be taught is how to engage the gear. Most often, you're going to be taught on a standard type of transmission, not automatic. Although these days, automatic is pretty much what everybody's doing now. But before, you would be taught on how to engage the gear. And buddy, it takes some doings. It takes some learning. It takes to get just do something as simple as engage the gear. Once you learn how to engage the gear, then your training starts. So engaging the kingdom of God culture is a great start, but now we must move into training ourselves in that culture, training ourselves by first unlearning some things from the old life, the old culture. We're unlearning them. Huh? You guys up in here? I looked up the word unlearn. I'm going to look it up again. It means to discard or put aside certain knowledge as being false or binding. To discard or put aside certain knowledge as being false or binding. We've all been brought out of this culture of the world, and we've got to set ourselves toward this new culture. As Christians, we often make choices in life that are not good or pleasing or perfect simply because we're not aware of this new culture. We've not embraced it. We've not learned it. So therefore, we're untrained. We're untrained in the cultural differences between the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. You see, we're so used to living by the world's values that we continue living that way even after we have been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. We continue living like everyone else around us instead of adopting the new cultural practices of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Because we've been brought up this way, we've got to discard, we've got to unlearn, we've got to disconnect. We've got to let Egypt be taken out of us. Just like Moses, who was called of God to deliver Israel, he first had to spend 40 years in the wilderness unlearning the Egyptian culture and learning his God. And being trained to hear the voice of God. Being trained. Listen to me. Because we continue living like everybody else around us, and we adopt the, even though we've want to adopt the new principles and cultural practices of the kingdom of God, we find ourselves falling back on the old way, and that right there was Israel's downfall. That right there was Israel's undoing. In the Old Testament, God claimed the Israelites to be his own people. God just said, I'm going to come and I'm going to dwell. I'm going to dwell with you. You are my covenant people. He said, you will be my kingdom. You will be known as my people. And he came, and the first thing that they had to do, the first thing that happened, they had to unlearn Egypt's culture. And then they had to be trained in the culture of God's kingdom. God was very adamant about this. God said, you will not, he began to teach them and walk with them and show them how they were not to associate, how they were not to fall back on their old lifestyle, how they were not to fall back on Egyptian ways, how they were not to return to the idolatry that they saw in Egypt, how they were never to embrace the lifestyle out of which they had been brought. God told them, the first thing you're going to do, you will have no other gods before me. In Egypt, there was a god on every street corner. There was a god in every house. There was a god. And God began to teach them. God, through the Ten Commandments, began to show them and tell them, you're going to have to disconnect. You're going to have to unlearn. You've been over 400 years under this influence of this culture. And now you're my people. Now you're my people. I'm bringing you out. You are my covenant people. And I'm going to begin to teach you and show you how to live. I'm going to begin to talk to you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to come to the mountain. I'm going to reveal myself to you. But in order to do so, you're going to have to do this and this and this. You're going to have to wash your clothes. You're going to have to make certain sacrifices. You're going to have to disconnect from all the ways in which you've learned it. And you're going to have to go my way or no way. Then he began to train them. First thing he did was they had to unlearn Egypt's culture. Then he trained them in the culture of his kingdom, his covenant people. They were to be holy, set apart, radically different from the people around them. But of course, you know the story. Instead of being different, instead of being holy, instead of embracing God's culture and living by God's culture, over time, they became just like all the other nations around them, even marrying among the nations. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "We are the citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives." And as citizens of heaven, look at this. We are citizens of heaven. Any citizens of heaven up in here today? We are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. As citizens of heaven, we have a new king. We have a new set of laws. We have a new set of rights. We have a new set of responsibilities. As citizens of heaven, we have a new set of cultural expectations. Remember that culture is shared values and beliefs, and that which is considered normal among a specific group of people by which our lives are shaped and influenced. Those values shape us and influence our responses. Those values, listen, we've connected, we've submitted ourselves to a new king. No longer are we serving the passions of this world and the lusts of this world. We have been delivered from all of that, and we are now following Jesus, and we're living according to his commands and his dictates. You see, one topic that Jesus repeatedly taught about was the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. I studied and I found about 25% of all Jesus's parables, those parables begin with these words, "The kingdom of heaven is like." When Jesus began to tell parables, 25% of his parables that he taught, he began those parables, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto." And then he goes on to give us many different illustrations to help us understand what the kingdom of heaven is like. Mark chapter 4 and verse 30 and 31. Just write these scriptures down. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed." Matthew chapter 13 verse 44. "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field." When a man found that treasure, he went and sold all that he had. He hid that treasure when he found it, went into the city, sold all that he had, and bought the entire field. Buddy. Luke chapter 13, verse 20. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast in some dough." These are three of many, many parables which Jesus began those parables by teaching us and showing us what the kingdom of heaven is like. So here, I've just taken these three parables, well-known parables of Jesus, and I've broken it down for us. Like the tiny mustard seed that grows into an enormous tree, or the spoonful of yeast that makes the bread dough double in size, or the treasure of great value hidden in a field. Here's the message. The kingdom of God would eventually push outward by those living according to its culture, until the whole world was transformed, until the whole world was changed. Do we have any kingdom people up in here today? Come on, you're ready to sell the farm. Whatever is needed, I'm going to do whatever God says to do because I'm part of this great kingdom. Church, the kingdom of heaven is so radically different from the kingdom of this world. And I want to finish by just breaking this down for a few minutes. As you read through some of Jesus' teachings, you get a glimpse of how different the values of the kingdom of God, how different the values of the kingdom of God compared to the kingdom of the world. It almost seems backwards. It almost seems upside down. And let me leave these with you. Are you ready? Jesus says, in the kingdom of God, here's one of our great values. Here's one of his great values that we are to share among us. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now you see, in the old kingdom that we came out of, That old worldly kingdom, that was not our value. It was me first. It was me, whatever I have to do. Hey, back off. What? I'm not concerned for you. It's me. But we've been brought out of that kingdom of darkness, and we've been translated into that kingdom of God's dear Son. And now the first shall be last. The last shall be first. We're embracing a value that says, you first. You first. Not me first. You first. I'm changed. I'm different. I used to be so selfish in that old kingdom that I came out of. I used to be so self-centered, but now, the last one there. Come on, man. Come on. You first. I come in behind you. I celebrate you. I love you. That's a value in this kingdom. That's my life has changed. The Holy Spirit wants to work deeply in me. The Holy Spirit wants to put that value in me so that I set aside my selfishness and I embrace the last. The Holy Spirit wants to lead me and guide me in the kingdom of God. Here's another value. If you want to be great, you have to become the least. If you want to be great, you have to become the servant of all. That's a value that I embrace in God's kingdom. I want to be trained. Holy Spirit, train me to be a servant. Holy Spirit, my life has been centered around every desire I want, everything I want. I've been pushing everything I want, but Holy Spirit, I humble myself. Holy Spirit, I serve. Holy Spirit, I give everything. I give it all away. Holy Spirit, work deeply in the kingdom of God. Here's another shared value. Come on, train yourself. You're to love your enemies. And to do good to those who hurt you. What? What are you saying? According to Luke 6:29, if someone slaps you on the cheek, on one cheek, bam, what would you do in the old kingdom? In that old kingdom that you came out of, the culture of that kingdom, if somebody slapped you, what would you do? Come on. Come on. In the new kingdom, what's the value of this kingdom? What did Jesus do when he was beaten, when he was spat upon, when they crucified him? What value? He is our King. Come on. What did he do? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In the kingdom of God, you turn the other cheek. Not only that, Jesus said, in this kingdom, if somebody asks you for your coat, you don't just give them your coat, you take off your shirt and you give them your shirt and your coat. In the old kingdom, what would we do? You want my coat? What's up with that? Do you know how hard I work for this coat? Do you know how many hours I spend for this coat? You're bothering me. Man, go get your own coat. Go work your finger to the bone. But in this new kingdom, the values and the culture of this new kingdom, whoever desires and asks me of my coat, I give him my shirt too. Come on, let's celebrate. We're no longer in that kingdom of darkness. We've been brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Everybody stand and let's give Jesus praise today in this house. Let's give him glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Train me. Holy Spirit, train me. Holy Spirit, train me. You say, Pastor, I've been falling back into some of the old cultures and the old ways. I need to unlearn. I need to discard. I need to set aside as false and as binding that which has bound me. I want the Holy Spirit to fill me. I want the fire of the Holy Ghost. Come on, lift your hands. I want the fire of the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to train me, to work with me. I want to be part of something supernatural. I want to be part of this great kingdom of God. I want to receive whatever God has for me to receive, and I'm not going to be hindered in my receiving any longer in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for such an amazing, amazing word that you have imparted into our lives today. Help us to live it, Jesus. Help us to be sensitive and yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Help us to come to fullness of everything you have in this brand new way of life. Lord, I thank you that your Holy Spirit brings us into the fullness and the place of fullness. Forgive us for falling back on Egypt. Forgive us for returning to the old ways of the world. And God, break it off of us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, have an amazing week, everybody. Have an amazing day, everybody. Let's go live it. Let's go live it this week. Let's go be trained by the Holy Spirit every day. Have an amazing week.